You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. If you were on Richland College campus in the last hour, you know we had a big fire drill that really took about 25 minutes. So this show is going to have to, out of necessity, be a much shorter show. I don't know how short. It could be as little as 10 minutes, maybe 30 or 40, depending when the adult supervision, the sound engineer, leaves. So I wanted to cover really two stories. One, a continuation of yesterday, but an update. And it really is an update what I was saying yesterday. I have suspected all along that the establishment has a ticket in waiting, if you will, that on a fourth or fifth ballot, one of the later ballots, it would spring on the convention. And I would not be surprised if that was a Romney-Ryan ticket, because it looked like Paul Ryan was making the moves. Going, you know, one thing you know, if they're running for president, they go overseas. And that's exactly what Paul Ryan was doing. Plus, he's making speeches. Yet, that resulted in a lot of speculation. Well, is it maybe Ryan's running for president? Now, I don't want Paul Ryan to run for president. I think if he did, especially this year, he would lose big time. And then that would definitely make him a two-time loser. Paul Ryan is a perfect example of what happens when you go to Washington. You go as a conservative, and then either play ball, and most of them do, they become so-called team players. What they're really doing is playing ball with the leadership. And that's exactly what Paul Ryan is doing. So today, he's not really a conservative. If you actually go to Conservative Review, you'll see what his scorecard is. You can go to, there are other outfits that rate him, but I don't consider him a conservative anymore. As a matter of fact, I was just looking up the score. His letter grade is F. His score is, Liberty score is 56%. If you're a conservative, you should have an A or a B, at the very least a C+, not an F. So scratch, if you think Paul Ryan is a conservative, forget it. And on immigration, he's terrible. He's one of these bought and paid for politicians taking the money from the donor class to have open borders. He's the reason we have Donald Trump and Ted Cruz running and leading. The Republican Party base doesn't want any part of an establishment ticket, whether it's Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, or anybody else that would be foolish enough and stupid enough to run. There are only two names that should appear on that ticket, and that's Donald J. Trump and Ted Cruz. I want both of them, and I'm not alone. Now, let me say something. There's no perfect candidate. Get over that. There's no perfect candidate. Let me back up. Today, and I'm glad he did this, Paul Ryan said, count me out. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Ryan, going, gone as far as you are concerned. And that includes 2020. You're a part of the problem. You're certainly not the solution. Oh, you might have the respect and the backing of the House of Representatives, but not the majority of the House of Representatives. There are too many true conservatives and true Tea Party House members, as well as in the Senate, that don't want you and really don't trust you. You're a good poster boy for the establishment. Actually, Mitch McConnell and Boehner were better, but you're not much of an improvement. The only area I think you definitely are an improvement, at least you can open your mouth and communicate. The problem is what's coming out of your mouth. And I'm waiting to see what your messages and the agenda are. I don't think Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz are going to agree with your agenda, especially in the immigration area. The American people, the majority of the American people, want the illegal alien invasion of 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are in this country roll back. And they're not coming back. That's what the American people want. I don't care what your donor base wants, corporate America wants, your big backers want. The American people want no part of it because Americans, workers, middle class, managers have been hurt. It started with Bush, it continued with Obama, and it's not going to continue anymore because the American people will walk out of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And that's why Donald Trump is being able to attract Democrats to his rally events. Now, for those that might think I'm a Trump supporter and a Republican, let me disabuse you of that. I'm no longer Republican. I gave up in 2006. I sat down and studied what's been happening with the Republican Party. Before then, I was very much a traditional conservative, believed in fiscal responsibility, and very much also for limited government, what would be accurately described as a classical liberal, very much like the founders of this country. And then I concluded that both the Democratic Party, that was the easy one, but also the Republican Party are big government parties. Actually, what they are progressive parties. Just like Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive and Woodrow Wilson was a progressive. And that's what we have today. In other words, this has been going on for over 100 years. Like I said yesterday, about 125. So I'm not a Democrat and I'm no longer a Republican. And nothing is going to really change in Washington until we have another successful party that truly believes in a representative republic and believes in the United States Constitution. For all practical purposes, the United States Constitution is a dead letter. It's been a dead letter for decades. Because if they were truly following the Constitution, the federal government would be at least half the size it is today. Many departments, programs, agencies would be closed. Never should have gotten off the ground. And the reason why I say it's going to take another party, let's assume for a minute the dream ticket of Donald Trump and Ted Cruz wins. And I think they would win. What happens? Who do they face in their first 4 years? A Democratic House and Senate and a Republican House and Senate, all for big government. In other words, has anything really changed? Not much. It is going to take leadership. Now, I've listened to some talk show hosts that really should know better. And they were saying, well, look, Ted Cruz followed the rules. Donald Trump could have had people in Colorado. That shows leadership. Excuse me. Managing a campaign is a difficult task, but that, in my mind, is not executive experience. My problem with Ted Cruz, and he is my first choice, by the way. He's a lawyer. He's a great advocate. He's brilliant. He's articulate. But he's also, and this is the likability problem. I try to put my finger on what is my problem with Ted Cruz. Even though as a conservative, he's pretty solid. He's not a libertarian, though. Point one. Point two, though, but the big problem, and this is a style problem, he is condescending, and people may not be able to articulate that, but they feel it, and they don't like it. And the reason he's condescending, he's a preacher's son, and people don't like to be preached at, especially if they didn't volunteer to sit in the church. Some would call it arrogant. I simply call it condescending, and that's a telltale sign of an elitist. You know, up to now, with the exception of his position on H-1B visas, he's not the strongest candidate, as far as I'm concerned, on immigration, illegal immigration. He's a lot better than some of the others, though. And that's my point. There's no perfect candidate here. It depends what criteria and what your hot buttons are. He's terrific on pro-life. Check mark. And he's good, not great, but good on illegal immigration. My problem is with Republicans and all these Republicans, including Trump, is regarding legal immigration. Because what truly the Republican Party wants to do, including Paul Ryan, is to increase the number of legal immigrants from roughly 1,300,000, and that includes guest workers, first up to 2 million and 3 million. That's what they're all about. That's their solution, and if they and that's per year, not a one-time increase, per year. Today, 1,300,000 people come to this United States. They get a green card, and the 300,000 are roughly the guest workers. That's per year. They want to increase that to 2 million, then 3 million. That's the secret plan. And if they get that through, they get a payoff. It's called huge campaign contribution. That's what Paul Ryan and the leadership of the Republican Party is. And if you doubt me, just go and look on Numbers USA, their scorecard, as well as Conservative Review. Most of them are D's and F's, and they're not conservative. They're big government progressives. That's what they're all about. That's why I've given up at the Republican Party. Bush ruined it, Sonny Bush. And I'm going to use this as an example, but I might as well talk about it right now. Ronald Reagan got elected president. But before he got elected president, the establishment screwed him out of the 76 nomination. And they were trying to do that in 1980. And to secure the nomination and get elected, he agreed to have George Herbert Walker Bush as his vice president. I think that was the mistake of the Ronald Reagan administration, because by doing that, what happened? All the establishment, big government, progressives of the Republican Party, they came in the doors. Not at first, but ultimately they came in the doors, and then we got one term of read my lips, no new taxes, a big lie. From George Bush. He worked out real good, right? No. And his son wasn't much better. He ran up huge deficits, and he opened the doors, he opened the borders, and let the invasion in. So I don't want to hear about any Bushes. I don't want to hear any about big government, so-called conservatives. They're not conservative in the sense of trying to have classical liberalism, limited government, like our founding fathers wanted. They want to conserve big government. And in the process, who has been screwed? Who has been given the shaft? Primarily American workers, the middle class. You see, the rich have done very, very, very well. But what has happened? We've had three big transitions in the United States economy. One from agriculture to manufacturing, or the industrialization of the United States. And then what we've had, and it really started in the 60s and 70s, I would say 1970 forward, and it's gotten worse. We've had the transition from manufacturing, where the good paying jobs are, to service industries. Just look at the percentages. It will astound you. As a result, you can go in almost any state, communities that are, if not ghost towns, the only people that stay there are the people that are retired, too old to leave. And that's where they used to have the steel mills, the machine shops. And I'm not saying we don't have machine shops. What I'm trying to say is many of the plants, as well as the equipment, that used to employ tens of millions of Americans, they're no longer in the United States. They're in China, they're in Mexico, and other countries. I'm a free trader. I know the advantages of free trade. I'm not for protectionism. But we need to make sure that that free trade is also fair. And unfortunately, the economic policies of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have hurt most middle America. And Donald Trump is raising these issues. That's why the establishment, really, of both parties, but principally the Republican Party right now, don't want Donald Trump. They want the status quo. Both parties are for the status quo. They're quibbling about where the money gets spent. The Republicans want more money spent on warfare, military spending, acquisitions of new weapon systems, and the Democrats want more welfare programs, and they both want more entitlement programs. What's the problem with all that? They think they're living back in the 50s and 60s, and they know that's not the case. Every year, this year we'll run a deficit where we outspend total tax revenues of over $500 billion. It might be $600 billion, and it's going back up, and guess what? Paul Ryan understands this. He truly does know what's going on. The problem is, he can't fix it. For the simple reason, if he tried to fix it, they would crucify him. He's a bought and paid politician, and he's going to stay bought and paid. You see, many of the people in the Tea Party, for example, that got elected to Congress or the Senate, quickly found out if they were going to have a career, a political career, and move up and get the choice committee assignments, they had to play ball with the establishment. What's happened is many of those people have gone back home. It's a lost cause. You don't have the votes. And that's why you need a third party. Now, what are we wasting our time on? And the problem is, we don't have much time. Some will say no more than 10 years. Some will say 15. I think at the outside, 20 years to clean up and get our house in order. And there's no leadership coming out of the Democratic Party, and there's certainly not leadership in the Republican Party. And there, it's not a case of not having people knowing what's going on. Paul Ryan understands this, but he's a good talker. You know, I caught on to his act when, this is a couple of years ago, this would be even before he was running for president. Oh, we're going to balance the budget. And then you start looking at the details in 2037. Now, when he got some flack from that, it was 10 years. You've heard this for 15, 20 years. Well, in 10 years, we'll balance the budget. In 10 years, we'll balance the budget. They never balance the budget. They don't make any progress to do it. And they play this budget baseline game. See, when they say cut, it's not how you and I think of it. It's to fool you. Businesses have to have budgets, as do colleges, cities, families. And when they mean cut, means you cut the spending. That's not how Congress cuts spending. They play this 10-year baseline budgeting game, and what they're saying is, well, we'll cut the rate of growth from 10% to 8%, so we've cut it. And the Democrats will say, well, we tried our best, but the Republicans cut spending. This is a fraud. This is lying and deceiving you, and the American people have had it to hear. That's why they're trying to elect either Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. Now, the only candidate that truly has executive experience, not counting running your campaign, is Donald Trump. And some people are saying that you know better. Well, that demonstrates that Ted Cruz knew the rules, and he just played the games. Are you aware that none of those delegates Ted Cruz has are bound? That were two things that are escaping people. One is those delegates are unbound, and the rules that they put in were designed, remember, put in by Romney, Paul Ryan, and his crowd, the establishment, were to stop, for example, a Ron Paul or a Rick Santorum by not having a straw poll where you get a sense of where the delegates are. That is stopped. They didn't have a straw poll. And Cruz is out there, well, 65,000 people voted in Colorado. Well, excuse me, Mr. Cruz, there's over 1 million Republicans in Colorado. And about 95% weren't invited to vote. You see, the system in Colorado was set up to stop an outside candidate, whether it was Trump or Cruz. And they're unbound on the first ballot. In other words, the establishment can get to those delegates. That's what you need to understand is every state has a Republican Party, and they make the rules. And they can change the rules, and they do that. And the number one objective of the rules is to stay in power. They don't want outsiders, whether it's Ted Cruz or Donald Trump, coming in and having an impact on their state. You see, the honorable thing for Cruz to have done is to stay out. In other words, not play the game. But when you're behind, I understand he went for it. I think it's going to backfire. Eventually, the story is going to come out. Most people, if you're not in Colorado, don't really care. I don't really care. The deed is done. There's nothing you can do about it. You move on. But I'm leading up to something, and I'm looking at the time. Maybe I'll have a few more minutes. And this is the point of this show. I've been listening to a lot of talk radio. I do that mainly to see other people's styles, what stories they're covering, but mainly to hear what the callers are asking, because we're not set up for calls. We never have been. We don't have advertising. We don't have calls. So I have to carry the show for the entire show, which means usually I'm talking for an hour, 2 hours. One day I think I hit over 4 hours. And that means I got to be entertaining, but also informative, and really have pointed comments and opinions on what's in the news. And I do. I'm glad Paul Ryan has ruled it out, but I'm warning you. And I'm giving this warning to Ted Cruz, but also to Donald Trump. Both of them know the establishment doesn't want them at all. And they're going to do anything and everything they can to make sure you're not on the ticket. They have not given up. Number one is to knock off Trump, and number two objective is to knock off Ted Cruz, or nullify him, by making sure whoever's second on the ticket, if it's Ted Cruz, gets to the top, and I don't think he will. But if he got to the top of the ticket, they'll make sure he is surrounded by establishment candidates that are going to put the knife in his back. And that's what I'm trying to warn them. They are not your friends, Mr. Cruz or Mr. Trump. They're out to stop you any way they can. If that means Hillary Clinton wins, so be it. We'll wait to 2020. We'll let Paul Ryan have 4 years as speaker, and then we'll put him forward as the Wonder Boy and the 2020 candidate. I think that's their plan. I don't know who they... There are a lot of people for number two. There's a long... Marco Rubio, he's always wanted to be vice president. The problem with Marco, he's a perfect example of the people that go to Washington and sell out, and it caught up with him. And that's why, even though he's third in terms of number of votes and delegates, he had a dropout. He lost his own home state. And he has no one to blame but himself. I don't trust Marco Rubio. And I'll be honest, I have reservations about both Trump and Cruz. Because they're not perfect, but they're good enough. For me, a perfect candidate would be in another party that truly is a leader and can communicate. One of the key qualifications of anyone that they put forward is someone that has the ability to speak and complete sentences and make sense. My total frustration with the Republicans and the debates and all the candidates, including Cruz and Trump, is I wanted an issue-focused campaign where each candidate would tell, here is the problem and here is what I'm going to do about it. And hopefully in the next 2 months, that is going to happen. But what needs to happen is this. When I listen to the radio, what are the people saying? Some are strictly, they're all in for Cruz. I'm all in for Cruz, okay? So I'm sympathetic. But they have blinders about Trump and the bigger picture. The bigger picture is we must stop Hillary Clinton. That should be the number one goal. This is very much a suboptimum ticket of Trump and Cruz, but it would do that but here's the key. The supporters of both Trump and Cruz have to come together. They have to embrace one another. If you look at their popular vote added up, it's about 2/3 of the popular vote. And let me give you the numbers. Well, first of all, just in delegates. So there has been a slight change. Right now, Trump has 757 in delegates and Cruz has 533. There is no way Ted Cruz can get to 1,237. So I've heard all the, I'm for Cruz, but I just know it. There's no way he's going to get there, folks, unless the establishment helps him, and that's when the alarm bell should go off, because then Ted Cruz is selling out you and me. Now let's talk in terms of popular vote. Ted Cruz has 6.3 million. I'm rounding here. Donald Trump has 8.3 million. Actually, Donald Trump has just slightly less than 2 million votes ahead of Cruz. The front runner and leader today, and the only one that has a chance of getting to 1,237, is Donald Trump. Now, if we had a united ticket, and there's only two ways this can happen. Obviously, if Donald Trump gets over 1,237, he can pick anyone he wants for his vice president. I would strongly recommend, if he wants to win, and I believe he does want to win, that he picks Ted Cruz to carry Texas and the South, just like John F. Kennedy from Massachusetts, a liberal, selected a Southerner, but a liberal Southerner, a progressive Southerner, Lyndon Baines Johnson. And even then, it was a very narrow election, and quite frankly, I thought Richard Nixon won. Because Chicago and South Texas played games. In other words, there's some voter fraud. They're still doing it, by the way. So I'm recommending that Trump and Cruz supporters stop going after each other and strongly try to push for a Trump-Cruz ticket. And I'm saying this because if you want to win, that's the only way you're going to win. That's the only way the American people will win. It's not going to make Ted Cruz happy, but I'm sorry, Ted. When all this is done, you're going to be about 300 delegates short unless you accept the bribe from the establishment. And watch out, because they're going to stick it in your back and in your guts. If the American people want to win, it has to be a Trump-Cruz ticket. Anything else, the nomination isn't worth having. Because what's going to happen? If Cruz is left out, Trump loses. If Cruz is at the top of the ticket, all the Trump supporters are going to go home. Trump doesn't want to be vice president. Why should he? He has nearly 2 million votes ahead of Cruz now, and by after New York, and he'll be over 3 million and close to 300 delegates ahead. Now, that's going to change, but my point is there's no way Ted Cruz can get ahead of Donald Trump. And that's just a fact. That's the numbers. Donald Trump has been able to attract Democrats and independents. And the reason is you have a lot of independents. I'm one of them. Know that they've been screwed over by both the Democratic and Republican Party, both in the handling of immigration, in particular illegal immigration, but also what they're trying to do on the legal side. And the same is true with these trade deals. I'm all for negotiating trade deals, provided they're fair. And that's the problem, because you have tariffs, but you also have what's called non-tariff barriers to trade. And nations such as China will use those to keep out U.S. goods. And that requires a lot of monitoring and auditing what's going on and renegotiating, exactly what Donald Trump has been saying for years. This is not a new tune from Donald Trump. Now, he said he's for fair trade. I've had some questions on that. Excuse me. Free trade. He says he's for free trade. I think he is, but he's insisting, and I would insist, it has to be fair. And fair, I mean it has to be right both for Chinese workers and, more importantly, American workers. I have watched as consumer electronics were taken over by the Japanese. At one time, the United States used to produce TVs. Ever hear of Zenith, Admiral? Same thing with stereo equipment. Not anymore. See, that was starting in the 60s, and it's continued. Look at our auto industry. At one time, General Motors and Ford dominated the industry. The problem there was the management and labor thought it was always going to be like that. Well, when you have free trade, you're competing with the world, and that means you got to outproduce a lot of people. And if you can't compete, those jobs will and have left the United States. It was a slow but inevitable process. What was forgotten, call it the forgotten men and women, were the American workers in manufacturing and other industries, but mainly manufacturing, that saw entire plants moved abroad, mainly for cheap labor. And now what's happening? What are we importing today? Cheap, compliant labor from Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, and many other countries. Because about 40-50% of the problem, people come here legally on a visa, student visa, business, tourist, and then they overstay their visa. And they're coming from dozens of countries. And they stay here. They live here and they work here. And that's what the Democratic Party is all about. If you can get here, they're not going to send you home. They're not going to enforce immigration law. And that's what the American people have been asking for, both when Bush was president and when Obama was president. Bush tried to pull what Obama tried to pull, and now the Republican Party want to pull, is to dramatically increase the number of legal immigrants. And if they can't do it legally, they'll do it illegally. That's what the Chamber of Commerce is about. That's what the donor class is about, why they're the owners and executives of large corporations. It's going to take a Donald Trump and Ted Cruz to fight the establishment. Now, if the establishment is successful, in other words, we don't have a dream ticket, we have what I call a corrupt ticket of the establishment, and it could very well be with Cruz at the top and a very carefully selected vice president. God forbid if it's John Kasich. See, Ronald Reagan made the same mistake. He wanted to be president, and he was more or less forced to take George Bush. Had he selected anyone that he wanted, he might not have become president. And see, that's the bind they get you in. Now, one other point. I know I'm going to have to shut down in a couple of minutes. What I've noticed with talk show radio hosts, including Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham, and others, they're always poo-pooing the third-party alternative. And I did the same thing for many, many years. But more and more callers are saying, you know, if they do it to us again, in other words, neither Trump nor Cruz is on the ticket, I'm staying home. I'm not going to get involved in this anymore. And then they'll say, it's time for another party to really take on both the Democratic and the Republican Party. And I say, terrific. But neither Limbaugh, well, let them speak for themselves. You can listen to their show. They don't want to go there. They think that's a loser's game. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the trap of the two-party tyranny. They're all, if you try to push them the wall, you know what they're going to say? Well, if you don't like the Republican Party, go vote for a Democrat. And if you're the Democratic Party and you complain about what they're doing, for example, in immigration, they say, well, if you don't like us, go become a Republican. They got you by the you know what. And they're squeezing, and that's how they squeeze you. They put you in that box and you fall for it for years, years, years. Now, I was amazed today was a very revealing Rush Limbaugh show. He had more or less the same problem I had. For many years, I thought the Republican Party was a conservative party. I believed that they supported what I was for. But I woke up one day, someone, I remember this, I used to blog on a Microsoft blog called Channel 9. It's for developers. And one day, someone made a comment, said, Raymond, why don't you check out the Republican Party deficits they've had year after year after year, and then talk to me about fiscal responsibility. Point well taken, and that's what I did. And then I thought about it some more. And I said, enough is enough. They're not conservatives. They're not classical liberals. They're not for limited government. They're all indeed, if not in talk, progressives. They want big government because that's what gets them reelected. They're into power and money. They need the money to keep their jobs. They're career politicians, and they go along to get along. They play ball. Their main interest is themselves and their little club. It's not you and me. And then I walked. My blinders came off, and I saw what was going on. And the more I dug in history and the background, I said, I've been a damn fool for too long, way too long. Neither the Democratic Party of my family nor the Republican Party of today has any interest in you and me. It's a private club, and you're not in it, and you're never going to be in it. I think it's a waste of time to try to reform the Republican Party. That's what Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are trying to do. It's a fool's errand. It's never going to happen. It's a first step. That doesn't mean I give up and go to my room and cry. So for this year, it's going to have to be either a Trump-Cruz ticket that I could vote for, or I'm staying home. The only way you get the party's attention is you don't vote for them. That's the only thing they'll listen to or pay attention to, is when they're thrown out of office. And even then, they don't care. They're conservatives writing for National Review that are making fun of the working class, the people that vote for them. Well, the hell with them. Most of them, they're not really conservatives. They're neocons. They used to be progressives in the Democratic Party, like the Scoop Jackson crowd. What are they for? I'm for a strong national defense. But, and here's the but, I'm not for spreading democracy and policing of the world. That is a formula for making government bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what the neoconservatives are all about. And many of them haven't served a day in the military. It's not their sons and daughters, usually, that fight these wars. There are exceptions, but rarely. And their daddies never were in the military. But they'll really send you and your son and your daughter to God knows where to protect some so-called national interest, which is really the interest of a few very large corporations, primarily in the oil or natural resource industry and agriculture. Wake up. If you want fundamental, serious change, going back to limited government and the U.S. Constitution, the United States government needs and has to be downsized. Otherwise, we're heading for a major default and runaway inflation. And it's coming. There will be a day of reckoning. So I hope you've all woken up or are waking up. Just remember, there's never a perfect candidate. There is never a perfect ticket. And life is not fair. Stop whining and complaining, Mr. Trump, Mr. Cruz. Attack, attack, attack Hillary Clinton. Stop them. United, we win. Divided, the establishment ticket wins. And they want us divided. They want us to be doing exactly what we're doing. Trump going after Cruz and Cruz going after Trump. Gentlemen, wake up. But more importantly, if you want to win, the Cruz supporters and the Trump supporters need to come together. Together, they probably have about 2,000 delegates at the end of this process. My estimate is Trump will end up with about 1,150 delegates, and Cruz will end up with 850 delegates. That's before the convention and before any wheeling or dealing or let's make a deal. Given that, Trump and Cruz should have the same objective of defeating Hillary and defeating the Republican establishment that really are not your friends, gentlemen. So I'm urging Cruz and Trump supporters to call your talk radio shows and recommend, call it a fusion ticket. I call it a dream winning ticket, because united, we would beat not only the establishment of the Republican Party, we will beat the establishment and Hillary Clinton of the Democratic Party. And that should be the objective of the 2016 election. We need to roll back the invasion of this country by 30 to 50 million illegal aliens. We need to repeal and replace Obamacare. We need to get this country moving again. We need to have positive economic incentives, not negative controls and taxes, higher and higher taxes, that it discourages business formation and capital expansion. Remember, it is the private sector where the jobs are created, where the wealth is created, where the income is created, and that requires a context or an environment where you have positive incentives to expand your business, such as a broad-based fair tax. My problem, again, with Trump and Cruz, I don't agree with their tax policy at all. It's second and third best, but they're no perfect candidates. The candidates that I were for in terms of 1, 2, and 3 either decided not to run or have dropped out. I don't have a third party now. I might 4 years, 8 years, or maybe 12 years from now. And then we can recruit better people, better than Trump and better than Cruz. You see, I'm very tired of lawyers, especially from Harvard and Yale. They have screwed up this country, whether it's Roosevelt or Clinton. I'm not a fan of attorneys being president. And the reason is simple. They're not executives. Oh, they can argue a case, win a case. And yeah, they're good with the legal aspects and the legislation. You see, my favorite president was Calvin Coolidge. And he said, the business of America is business. And he's right. Because if the business of America was business, we'd have an unemployment rate under 3%. And I mean truly under 3%. In other words, the U6 number would be under 3%. The U3 number would be under 1 or 2. But it's not going to happen as long as you have big government parties. They both are big government parties. I call them the progressive cartel. And it is a cartel. And they keep outsiders out. And they're not going to go willingly. They're not. They're going to fight you any way they can, fair and foul. They will change the rules. Even if you have or think you have all the delegates, guess what? They got to get through both the Rules Committee and the Credential Committee. And you don't think they're going to be attacking both Trump and Cruz? I think you're out of your mind. You're naive. They're not going to play fair. So again, united, we win. Divided, the establishment wins. You have to make that choice. It's not going to make anyone really happy, but this catfighting between Trump and Cruz has to stop. Focus on the issues and focus on Hillary Clinton. Stop it, folks. Stop it. Stop your tweeting, Mr. Trump. Start making addresses on substantive issues. That's how you have a mandate. You have to have a mandate, and that means spelling out exactly what is your agenda. That means 4 to 6 major areas. Here's what I'm going to do to make America great again. Now, if you can't do it, Mr. Trump, then maybe Ted Cruz should get the job. And that means you might have to read from a teleprompter. But these issues are too serious, and the American people are watching. And if they're double-crossed this time, I'm afraid we're going to have unrest. We could have a rebellion, and this could be 1968 all over again with riots and a really divided party. And that's what happened to the Democratic Party in Chicago, where the police rioted, the Chicago police under Mayor Daley. So if the establishment wants to play hardball, it's up to Trump and Cruz to play hardball with them. My fear, though, and I hope I'm wrong, is that Cruz, and Donald Trump has already said it, is a Trojan horse. I don't think he is. I really don't. But I've been fooled by a lot of politicians and a lot of lawyers. They'll tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. You know, I turned on the radio listening to Glenn Beck. I normally can't listen to an entire show. But he said, well, we're going to have Ted Cruz here. Oh, he's just behind me. He was broadcasting from his show. And Ted Cruz had some standard answers. But what annoyed me, and I think it was misleading if out and out dishonest, and you'll hear it on the news, and Cruz is using this line. Well, 65,000 Coloradans voted. No, he didn't vote for him, but they voted. Gee, Mr. Cruz, what about the other million that didn't vote at all and couldn't vote for all? You see, the rules were changed by the establishment in Colorado to favor insiders and activists. They were purposely designed against either a Trump or a Cruz. And you went there to play footsie with them. Trump made, I think, the correct decision. It was rigged. The rules were changed. And guess what? That's what the establishment does all the time. They want to stay in power. They'll change the rules. They'll steal elections. The Democrats do it. And guess what? The Republicans do it. And the American people are sick of it. Because ultimately, they pay the price. They lose their high-paying jobs. They lose the benefits. And then we have columnists at the National Review making fun of them. Excuse me, who brought you to the party, both in the House and the Senate? It's the voters. Many are Republicans. Many are also independents. You keep doing this to the American people. One, they'll walk out of the Republican Party. They'll walk out of the Democratic Party. And guess what? They've been doing that for years, and my prediction is very simple, we'll reach a tipping point when over 50% of a people poll, for example, by Gallup, when asked what is their party affiliation, will say, I'm an independent. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, you will have a successful, viable party form to replace either the Democrat and or the Republican Party. The independents have already made that decision. Right now, we're in the box that the two-party tyranny puts us in. We don't have a viable alternative. I wish we did. I mean, I started my coverage of this process that we're going through and said, aren't there any other better people that could be running for president? Another way to put it, why do the worst tend to rise? I think there are a lot of better qualified, experienced achievers, producers out there that are better than Trump and Ted Cruz together. But the only two that are left that I can vote for are Trump and Cruz. And if you don't watch out, you're not going to get either one of them. And one could sell you out. Actually, both could sell you out. There are no perfect candidates. There are no perfect tickets. But it's time to make the deal, Mr. Trump and Mr. Cruz. And it's time for the Cruz supporters and the Trump supporters to get together. Because if we're not united, we will lose. Either Hillary Clinton or whoever the establishment finally puts up, whether it's Paul Ryan or somebody else. So wake up, stand up, become active. Talking is great, but it doesn't accomplish a damn thing. You got to get organized, active, and you got to make your views known. I'm not saying write a letter or call your congressman. That'd be a start, but guess what? They don't listen to it. They have a staff that handles it, and they haven't been listening to you. If they did, we wouldn't have this huge government. If they did, we wouldn't have this invasion of our country by 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are here. No one knows the exact number. It's not 11 or 12 million, though. You got to get involved. You got to become active. And it only takes a small minority to do that to overthrow the two-party tyranny. Right now, the best we can do is try to take over the best we can the Republican Party. That's not going to be easy, and they're going to fight us every inch of the way. That's why I say we ultimately have to stop wasting our time doing this and start a new party. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.